Today, the gospel empowers us with a mission statement, as it were. The Son of Man has come to seek and save what was lost. What does that mean? Maybe it means that Christ's life was for others. Everything Christ did and said was aimed at bringing people back home to the Father's house, back on the path of true happiness. And today, that's still his mission. And how does Christ choose to carry that out? Well, one way we know is through his church, which he has promised to protect and guide until the end of history. And another way, perhaps an even more powerful way, is through each one of his followers. Each one of us sitting here today. Yes, even you, Charlie. We are his ambassadors, sent into the world to seek out and save what was lost, to bring the light of Christ to everyone that still walks in darkness. So Christ's life mission has become our life mission. And that's what truly being a Christian is all about. And if we are to succeed in that mission, we should carry it out in the same way that Christ did, basing our behavior not on what other people think, but on what God wants. Now, in the gospel, we hear Jesus attracting a large crowd as he makes his way to Jerusalem. They're lining the streets, even just to get a glimpse as he passes by. And as he does so, someone points this man named Zacchaeus up in a tree out to him and mentions what an evil man he is. Now, in the past couple of weeks, Father Cody has told us about the nature of tax collectors and their role in society. But Luke even makes a stronger emphasis about this man and calls him a chief tax collector. And when Jesus decides to spend some time with Zacchaeus, the crowd is shocked. They begin to grumble, saying, "He has gone to a sinner's house." But Jesus doesn't stop. He continues on with that mission. He doesn't let gossip and criticism deter him from the mission. Because if Jesus had cared more about what people thought about him or what people said about him than what God was asking for him, Zacchaeus would have probably continued in his sin, and the countryside would have continued to suffer from his injustice. But Jesus knew his mission, and he didn't let that vain opposition and gossip deter him from it, because he is the Lord, and he will rule his kingdom according to his own standards, whether or not everyone else is comfortable with it. For we as Christians, we must do likewise. We must base our decisions on what Christ wants. Now, loving people who seem unlovable is one way God shows his mercy. And for us, sometimes mercy has implications of weakness. But Christian mercy is perhaps the strongest force in the world because it overcomes sin. And we know Zacchaeus was a sinful man. We hear about that. He helped people create suffering and misery where he lived. But those people's anger, their threats of ostracism, their harsh words and actions, none of that was changing his heart. However, when Jesus comes and encounters him, he treats him with kindness and respect, and he rekindles the sense of goodness that Zacchaeus, for whatever reason, had long since buried in the junk drawer of his soul. To illustrate this, there's a story that's been told about a couple that was married for 15 years. And they started having more than just the usual disagreements. Now, Catherine's not here today to attest to that we have disagreements, but yes, we do. They sincerely wanted to work on this and agreed on an idea one of them had. For 1 month, they would slip a paper in a box, and they would call that box the fault box. And the boxes would provide a place to let the other know about daily irritations. Now, before you get into this just a little bit, just keep listening to the story. The wife was diligent in her efforts and approach. First, she wrote, leaving the jelly top off the jar, wet towels on the shower floor, dirty socks not in the hamper, and on it went until the end of the month. And then after dinner one night at the end of the month, they exchanged these boxes. And so the husband takes out his box, he reads the slips of paper, he reads about all his faults and his daily irritations. Then the wife opens her box, and she begins to read. All the notes, well, they were the same. The message on each slip of paper was, I love you. Well, that ended that crisis. So the lesson perhaps is, if we learn to be merciful, we will learn to seek and save what was lost, to retrieve people's good sides from the junk drawers of their soul. So again, focusing on our mission as Christ did, it frees us from slavery to other people's opinions. Worrying about what others may think can be a huge obstacle to our spiritual growth. But that doesn't mean we're supposed to ignore other people. And that would make us arrogant and cold, hardly the profile of what we're trying to work for. So how can we stay engaged in society without being slaves of social opinion and popularity contests? Again, refocusing on that mission that Christ has for us. He created us to love him and to love our neighbor. And he also created us to be loved. But if we determine our worth totally on others' opinions, we truly become disappointed. And in ministry, I can speak to that. I can be easily trapped by other people's approval of what I do and say. If I evaluate success strictly on other people's affirmations of what I do, then it becomes more about me and not about serving God. And there have been times when I do catch myself doing this, and I become unhappy with what I do. I feel empty, without purpose. Numbers and quantifying success is not the only way to achieve God's will in the church. Sometimes it may come in unexpected ways. I may think I have the best line ever in a presentation, in a Bible study, or in a homily. But then someone may come up to me later and say they were touched by something completely different. And all I can say is, God is speaking in spite of my own arrogance and pride. He chooses to work through a weak and unworthy vessel to accomplish the mission of seeking and saving what is lost. And all I can do is thank God for working as he so desires. And so if we seek to please God, to be affirmed and encouraged by him, we can do that by focusing on his will for our life, by being concerned, as St. Paul was, about becoming more and more worthy of the calling he has given us. If we strive to please Christ in everything we do, in all our activities, all our relationships and projects, we will find that just our efforts alone will already be pleasing him. And our hearts will be constantly full of the freedom that comes from knowing how much we are loved. So to please Christ is simply to imitate him, to make loving God and our neighbor the only project we have in our life. And we have a tremendous example of that, what it means to love Christ and our neighbor. This weekend happens to be Priesthood Sunday, and we have some tremendous people who have responded yes to the call of God, to the vocation of ministry, including Father Cody, Father Neinmeyer, Father Worth, and all the other priests in our parish and in our community We have a tremendous example, and we ought to acknowledge that each and every week, for their responding yes to that call to God's mission of imitating Him in loving God, in neighbor, and in self.